Hello, this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and you're in fact listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. The word of God came, saying, "This of God." Then a great and awesome fire swallowed the sky, but God was not in the fire. After the fire came a mighty wind, but God was not in the wind. After the wind came blasting explosions under the ground, shattering rock and melting sand, but God was not in the blasting. And after the blasting came a gentle whisper, "What are you doing here?" Here, it's a beautiful fall morning, Sunday morning here in Nevada City, California. And I don't know when you're listening to this or where, but then I say, I know this should be time sensitive, but I don't care. I am here right now with Steve Baker, who's doing all of the engineering here. Once again, the music of the Borsdorfs. That piece at the beginning is from the Bible. It's from 1 Kings 19:11-33. First of all, before I get underway even another inch, I would like to wish my wife, Joanna, a happy, happy birthday. Her birthday is today. And we're going to go out and see a movie when I'm done with this. We're going to go out and see the new Harry Potter and the Millionaire Novelist. And we are right here in Nevada City, California, where it takes three frogs to stay alive, and two of them got to be doctors. Figure that out. Well, I want to memorialize a marvelous human being today. The obituary was just announced as a person I'd met a number of times over the years in various different kinds of struggles. Alice Hamburg passed away. Alice Hamburg was a peace activist for over half a century. In 1950, she founded the Women's Strike for Peace. They sent delegations all over the world, to Russia, to China, when you weren't supposed to go to these places, to Cuba. She was involved in the free speech movement in Berkeley. Before that, in the Mississippi Freedom Summer, 1964, the voter registration down there, enduring the most direst of circumstances. And then on up into our times, she brought her peace work forward through time. She said, "Our motto is justice, not vengeance." She also said, "I don't know if I will live to see rapprochement with our enemies in my own lifetime, but I owe it to my progeny to help us get there." Well, she helped us to get there. Alice Hamburg passed away at the age of 94. So, this program is committed to her, dedicated to her, and to her work. Now, we've heard a great deal of war news. If you're listening to this a year from now someplace, you might be tempted to ask, which war? Well, this program is about peace, and it doesn't matter which war. It's about the thoughts of a woman, the thoughts of an enormous number of people who've been in it for the long haul, irrespective of the war, irrespective of the conflict. Well, I was talking to Carl, a Catholic worker in Chicago, and Carl, he drives around in a truck with a house he built on the back that has a peace library in it, and he drives into the middle of campuses and talks and invites people into the library, and they have discussions. He's a migrant peace worker. Well, Carl, you know, I was talking to Carl about the tactics of the peace movement. You know, as I said, Alice Hamburg was involved in the Mississippi Freedom Summer. Those tactics were laid down by the African-American people who had to endure those conditions, and they knew that nonviolence was mandatory. They knew what would work and what wouldn't work. When the anti-war movement came along, Many civil rights activists moved over into the peace movement, bringing with them the tactical activity, the mass demonstration, the teach-in, the vigil, civil disobedience. Well, And come bringing those tactics over into the peace movement, nobody stopped to think about whether those tactics were viable for a completely new situation. Well, we carried those tactics, and many times successfully, through the 1960s into the 1970s, through the Contra War, on up into our time, came to the Gulf War, and you know, those tactics were completely predictable. Everybody knew exactly what we were going to do, and the peace movement became marginalized. It was almost as if it wasn't there. And that's why Carl said, you know, the time has come to escalate the tactics. And I said, where do we escalate the tactics to? Well, this program is going to be some ideas about how that might happen. First off, I want to play a couple of old Pete Seeger songs. Now, there's a guy who's been involved in peace activism for ever since the early 1940s. We're going to hear a song, two short pieces. One, Ragputi. Ragputi was Mahatma Gandhi's favorite song. The song says, "Who is Allah? Who is Ram?" In effect, what it says is, "Let's not kill each other over the name of God." Pete Seeger recorded this at the Park Circus Maidan in Calcutta in 1963, surrounded by 10,000 people and a pretty good sitar player. And then we're going to hear a song that he recorded in the Soviet Union many, many years ago, called May There Always Be Sunshine. Well, he'll explain to you where that song came from.
Ragupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Ragupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Sitaram Jai Sitaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Sitaram Jai Sitaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Ragupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Pavana Sitaram Ishra Alaterenam Sabko tanmate devagavan Ishara Allah terena Sabko tanmate devagavan Ragupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Ragupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Sitaram Jai Sitaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Sitaram Jai Sitaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram Ragupati Raghava Rajaram Patita Bhavana Sitaram
I learned another song in another language up in Moscow. They were playing a song on the radio, had a very catchy chorus. I found out the words were written by a six-year-old boy. It seems they'd had a children's art exhibit, and it was a typical six-year-old painting. It had a big blue sky and a big yellow sun in the middle of it, and two figures below. And there were he'd written a poem and put it on at the bottom of the page. Пусть всегда будет солнце, пусть всегда будет небо, пусть всегда будет мама, пусть всегда буду я. Пусть всегда будет солнце, пусть всегда будет небо, пусть всегда будет мама, пусть всегда буду я. Here's what it means. May there all
always be sunshine. May there always be blue skies. May there always be mama. May there always be me. May there always be blue skies. May there always be sunshine. May there always be mama. May there always be... Пусть всегда будет солнце, пусть всегда будет небо, пусть всегда будет мама, пусть всегда буду я.
Pete Seeger, the wellspring of inspiration for me, the man who invented my trade, the go-about folk singer and storyteller in our time. All right. Where can the tactics of this movement escalate to? Where do they need to go? Well, now, I have some pictures that I collect. I have these albums, big loose-leaf binders of photographs, clippings, oddballs, and there are things that I can take out and use to change ideas, to create songs, to create stories, or to simply provoke me into thinking in completely different directions. A couple of pictures in there. One of them is two boys standing in front of an orphanage in Angola, and they're talking to each other. But they're both on crutches, and you can see that parts of their legs are missing. Another picture, this is from Stepping on Landmines. Another picture is of a desolate-looking woman with a great shawl wrapped around her head and pockmarks on her face from shrapnel, holding her little baby. For all the world like Madonna and Child, the baby's head swathed in bandages, you know. And I look at that. I look at those pictures, and I say, can I... in good conscience, go into the streets and protest against war all the time that I'm paying for it, paying for the bombs, paying for the landmines. I think Karl Meyer and I agreed that the most logical escalation that the peace movement can do is organized tax resistance. Now, I'm not recommending that anybody break the law, and of course that isn't the policy of this station by any means, but it's time for those of us in the anti-war movement, in the peace movement, to consider alternative funds, to consider tax resistance or organized tax refusal, to get in touch with local and national organizations who've been involved with this for many, many years and know how to go about doing that. I remember visiting with Dr. Spock in Boston when I was playing there 1 year. He and a group of people belonged to an alternative fund. They paid their taxes. They took out from their wages the amount that they were supposed to pay in taxes and put them into an alternative fund. They met every year and decided where those collective funds were going to be dispersed locally so that they were certain that they were putting some good in the world. Now, you can find out a great deal about this by people who have been at it for a long time from the National War Tax Resistance Committee. National War Tax Resistance Committee, P.O. Box 6512, Ithaca, New York, 14851. There's a 800 number, 1-800-269-7464, and... a website, www.nwtrcc.org. So we need to form local committees, town to town, city for city, village for village, local committees to explore these possibilities of organized tax resistance. Look, folks, if you don't like it, don't pay for it. Well, now, here's my old friend, Fred Holstein. Oh, quite a long time ago, Fred could get a bunch of after-hours drunk singing in a bar, but singing like angels. And here they all are with one of the great songs out of that past, This Little Light of Mine.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know, Monday gave me the gift of love. Tuesday, peace came from above. Wednesday told me to have more faith. Thursday gave me a little more grace. Friday told me to watch and pray. Saturday told me just what to say. Sunday gave me the power divine to let my little light shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Lights the darkness from above. Shines for me, shines for you. Shows you what the power of love can do. Shine my light both bright and clear. Shine my light both far and near. Every dark corner that I find, I gotta let my little light shine. I'm gonna let it shine, this little light.
Oh, Fred Holstein, it's so good to see that music back in circulation. There's a 2-CD set came out of the live recordings of him made many years ago in Chicago. You know, this peace movement, there has to be something in it for everybody to do, for every level of commitment. Instead of people saying, I'm doing more than you are, that you should be doing this. Every level of commitment, there should be a place for it. I remember a teacher strike here in California, oh God, it's been a long time ago, maybe half a century ago, where it found out the people who were on strike found out that nobody was talking about the strike. There was no civil discourse about it. And because it was the McCarthy era and because of a California Inactivities Committee called Quack, of course, that people were afraid to talk about it, the big red scare. So the word went out, if you support this strike, wear a straight pin in your lapel. People are even afraid to wear political buttons. But then, sooner or later, some workmate or somebody standing waiting for the bus with you is going to say, hey, you've got a straight pin on your lapel. And then you'd have to explain it. You'd have to say why, you know. And that's got conversation going. That got discourse going. Small ways into big ways. Tax refusal. Small way, but important. The telephone tax has been on, oh, I don't know, since the Vietnam War, I guess. But since 1966... the telephone tax, it's a small amount of money, on each telephone bill has raised $30 billion. Now, your telephone bill is itemized. You can deduct the amount of telephone tax that's on that bill and pay the balance, and be sure you include a little card that tells them exactly why you're doing it. You know, there are telephone services that are prepared for this. Their telephone services billing is set up to accommodate this. And then send that note along to your congressman or along to your senator or along to your local newspaper explaining why. Those telephone funds can be pooled into a community fund, you see, and can be put together, put to use supporting community causes. And I think the good news in this is that for refusal to pay this tax, The telephone company cannot legally disconnect your telephone. I always favored the idea of the FBI bugging my telephone, you know, and that's because of the inordinate, the huge telephone bills I get making long-distance calls to try to get work in my trade, you understand? Dick Gregory taught me this. I went down to Sacramento and stood up on a soapbox and started windmilling, street speaking, making wildly asparagus remarks about the government and the general dilapidated appearance of reality, forced the FBI to bug my telephone. Then I knew they wouldn't pull it out. Ha-ha, that's your government working for you. Here's my favorite of all the peace songs I ever heard, bar none. This is Peter Alsop and a bunch of rowdy kids down in Topanga, California, singing Chickens for Peace.
I'd rather have a piece of chicken.
Too bad.
Chickens for peace, we're chickens for peace, and we don't want to fry. Chicken for peace, we're chickens for peace. One little war, and we're chicken pot pie.
Chickens for peace, we're chickens for peace, and no one respects a chicken who bakes.
Like Emma Hennessy said, you can't win a revolution without a sense of humor. That's a fact, no matter how dark the times become. Well, now, escalation of tactics. I look at these photographs that I talked to you about. They're awful photographs. They're deeply moving. And I think of those two little boys. I think of their mothers. I think of that mother holding that little baby in southern Lebanon. And I think women know more about the consequences of war than men do. You think about that. Women know more about the consequences of war than men do. You think about the war that we're in now, the last one, the Gulf War. You think about the Contra War, or First World War, Second World War, on and on. You've got Pol Pot. What have you, Serbia, Kosovo. Women aren't doing this, and children aren't doing this, and old people aren't doing this, and disabled people aren't doing this. This is young men with guns doing it to everybody else, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. Now, we don't have a problem with violence in this world. We got a serious male problem. And we got to start looking at that, not only internationally, but locally in our own families, our own lives, our own homes. We have a serious male problem, and unless we start looking at it and trying to understand it, why men kill in those terms, we're not going to get much of any place, I don't think. I think that the women's movement needs to be at the core, at the center of a rebuilt peace movement, that there needs to be a women's caucus in every town, every city, that just deals with redefining the peace movement and then telling us, I'm willing to shut up and listen. We've been at this for a long, long time, and like I say, we haven't got much of anywhere the past couple of wars, so... Yeah, the women's movement should be at the center of this rebuilt peace movement, and it's up to us men to shut up and listen. There's an old holiday in Britain called Whitsuntide. That was when the Morris dancers danced. A dance that goes back into arch antiquity. One of the dressed in costumes, one wearing a set of horns on the head. During the First World War, the young men... Even not even the young ones going on into the war went away to fight. Why, you know, the absence of men in those villages, those farming communities, was as high as 70%. Came time to do the Morris dancing, there weren't enough men to do it. Tradition would have died out except the women, who had never Morris danced, put on those costumes, and they went out and danced. Here's a song by John Austin. John Austin Marshall, using a traditional tune called Dancing at Whitsun, sung by Priscilla Herdman.
It's 50 long springtimes since she was a bride, but still you may see her at each Whitsun time in a dress of white linen. That were nimble, tread carefully now, as gentle a measure as age will allow. Through groves of white blossom, by fields of young corn, as once she was pledged to her true love. They stand empty, the hedges grow free, no young man to tend them, or pastures go see. They are gone where the forests of oak trees before have gone to be wasted in battle. From the green farmlands and from their loved ones marched husbands and brothers and fathers and sons. There's a fine roll of honor where the maypole once stood, and the ladies go dancing at Whitsun. A straight row of houses in these latter days, all covering the downs where the sheep used to graze. There's a field of red poppies, a wreath from the queen, but the ladies remember it's Whitsun, and the ladies go dancing.
Oh, yeah, Priscilla Herdman, Dancing at Whitsun. Well, I don't mean to denigrate the tactics that we have been using in the peace movement, you know, the demonstration, the big rally, teach-in, civil disobedience. But you see, things like civil disobedience have become sort of a revolving door. You're in court and you're out of court. They understand those tactics. They understand where they're going. It's time for us to add to those tactics. You see, I think that one of the things that we need to do is to get off of the streets, those who can, and into the schools. There are schools, folks. We own those schools. They belong to us. They're the people's property. And we want to have some control over what it is that our kids are being taught. We need to involve ourselves in the curricular process, how to change, how to add to curriculum, how to bring classes, seminars in nonviolent problem solving and conflict mediation and reduction into the classrooms, into the schools. Down in Atlanta during the Gulf War in Georgia, there were military recruiters in the high schools. So an organization in Georgia went to court, and the court decided, yes, that being the case, they had every right to have peace recruiters in the schools. We need to be doing these things. We need to be thinking about doing these things. In Butte, Montana, when I was up there during the Gulf War, folks were picketing out there in front of the post office against the war. And at the same time, there was a mock trial going on of Saddam Hussein in one of those rooms. Those little kids were drawing the most horrific, they found him guilty of war crimes, drawing the most horrific pictures of what should be done with him, blown up, thrown out of an airplane, and then videotaping the whole proceedings to send to the troops overseas as a Valentine greeting. Now, those people in Butte saw what was happening and left off picketing in front of the post office and got to work in the schools. So now there is a program in the schools in Butte, Montana, dealing with nonviolence. All right? So that's another place that I think the peace movement needs to go, is to involve ourselves in our schools. Our schools. Here's a song. This one goes back to the old Broadside magazine of 1963. That's when this was recorded. Tom Paxton, What Did You Learn in School Today?
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free, and that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Thank you.
Kenny Hall down in Fresno, California, an old friend, Kenny Hall, who's still playing that mandolin in that style, that big, that beetle-backed mandolin. A potato bug sits up on one knee, plays with one hard fingernail, and is raucous, delightful to watch as he plays as well as to listen to. Sam Bowles, it was back during the Vietnam War. Sam Bowles was really suspicious of the statistics he was hearing, of the polls that he was hearing about the number of people that supported the war. Around the Vietnam War, the people around him that he was talking to, the people in his neighborhood, the people that he worked with, went to school with, he didn't get that feeling from them at all as the war droned on and on. So what Sam Bowles did was he called for a Vietnam summer. It was kind of like the Mississippi Freedom Summer. Students that were out of school could come into Massachusetts if they didn't already live there, and they worked out a questionnaire and then went from door to door and canvassed all over the state to find out how people felt about the war. And lo and behold, the polls that they were getting in the newspaper were dead wrong. The people were really dissatisfied with what was going on in that war and really unhappy about the way that it was being handled, you see. We can do that right now. The idea of canvassing in our towns, canvassing in our neighborhoods. Get a study group together on that. Maybe meet at the public library. That's the people's property, too. Sit down and work out some non-rhetorical questions. I mean real questions. Not questions you think you already have the answer to, but questions that you really want the answers to. And while you're at it, work out some questions about flagging civil liberties, about the vanishing civil liberties because of what's going on. All of those things, the attack on civil liberties, are all, there are no surprises there. They're all things that law enforcement has been asking for years and years and years, and this war is a good opportunity to get them. And my friends, when those get on the books, they're not going to go away. They're not going to go away. Law enforcement is going to move on to the next set of tools. I hate to think what those are going to be. So get the group together, get the questionnaire together, the real questions, go out. Start talking to people through their screen doors, in their living rooms, on the front porches, waiting at bus stops. We don't have any civil discourse going on. We used to spend a lot of social time together, didn't we, on the trolley cars, on the buses, before television, before computers, before we wound up spending so much time at home and not going out bowling with the bowling leagues, not having dinner parties or social gatherings. We're spending more and more time alone. And you know, television is not public discourse. Television is not public discourse. We have to get some public discourse going, some conversation, some discussion, and then let's find out what people are saying, what people are thinking. Here's a Leon Russelson song from Great Britain. I've played this before, I think, with him singing it, but now I'd like to hear it sung by Rebel Voices from up in Seattle, If They Come in the Morning.
They call it the law,
apartheid,
conscription,
partition,
and silence. It's the law that they made to keep you and me where they think we belong. They live behind steel, bulletproof glass, machine guns and spies, and tell us who suffer the tear gas and torture that we're in the wrong. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show fear or pour tears in the morning. No time for goodbyes, no time to ask why. And the wail of the siren is the cry of the morning. The trade union leaders, the writers, the rebels, the fighters and all, and the strikers who fought with the cops at the factory gates, sons and the daughters of unnumbered heroes who paid with their lives, and the poor folks whose cry of freedom was their only mistake. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show fear or pour tears in the morning. No time for goodbyes.
no time to ask why, and the wail of the siren is the cry of the morning.
They took away Sacco,
Lanzetti,
Willessa,
and Conley and Pearson their time. They came for Newton and Seal, the Panthers, and some of their friends in Warsaw, Chicago, Saigon, Santiago, Cape Town, and Belfast. And the places that never made headlines, the list never ends. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show fear or pour tears in the morning. No time for goodbyes, no time to ask why. And the wail of the siren is the cry of the morning.
The boys in blue, they're only a few of the everyday cops on their beat.
CIA branchmen and spies and informers, they do their jobs well. Behind them, the men who tap phones, take pictures and program computers and file. And the ones who give the orders, which tell the men to come and take you to a cell. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show fear or pour tears in the morning. No time for goodbyes, no time to ask why. And the wail of the siren is the cry of the morning.
So come all you people to give to your sisters and brothers the will to fight on.
They say get used to the war, that doesn't mean the war isn't on. The fish need the sea to survive, just like your comrades need you. And the death squads can only get to them if first they can get through to you. No time for love if they come in the morning. No time to show fear or pour tears in the morning. No time for goodbyes, no time to ask why. And the wail of the siren is the cry of the morning. No time for goodbyes, no time to ask why. And the wail of the is the cry of the morning.
Rebel Voices. Isn't that a terrifying song? Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I just got back from doing my monthly out-of-town engagement in Madison. Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Coalition for Peace. They set up a peace camp, the Sundial, in the center of the university campus. The students, where students, faculty, and the townspeople could come together and discuss, creating that place for discourse. And yes, they camped there day and night, and people brought by food, or people came to rant at them and to be abusive. At night, there were Drano bombs thrown. There still are Roman candles tossed in there, but they stuck with it and have this peace camp. There needs to be a place in every town, in every community, where that kind of discourse can take place, a part of a public park, some place where a peace camp can be set up and people are willing to stay there, where people are going by all the time, so that we can begin to talk about these things instead of simply being trapped by images on television. One of the biggest and oldest peace camps in the world was Greenham Common Peace Camp. It's where the cruise missiles and nuclear arms were stored in Britain. 1981 to 1997, it was patrolled, all seven gates, a nine-mile perimeter, day and night, by the peace camp. In 1982, 30,000 women decorated that fence, and they joined hands and made a double ring around the base, 18 miles of singing women. Well, here's one of the songs Peggy Seeger sang with those women at Greenham Commons, called "Carry Greenham Home."
Hand in hand, the line extends all around the nine-mile fence. 30,000 women chant, bring the message home. singing voices rising higher, weave a dove into the wire. In our hearts a blazing fire, bring the message home. Carry freedom home, yes, near home and far away. Carry freedom home. No one asked us if we cared if crews should be stationed. Running scared, bring the message home. Carry freedom home, yes, near home and far away. Carry freedom home. Here we sit, here we stand, here we claim the common land. Nuclear arms shall not command, bring the message home.
Freedom home, Greenham Common. Fundraising. I would like, just very briefly, if I would like to see the peace organizations pick one fundraising possibility to alleviate the suffering that war causes, and as a community effort, a group effort, including everybody, instigated by peace people, do active fundraising for that one. Things like Oxfam. Also, the Heifer Project. The Heifer Project is a good one. That is, people can pool their money and buy farm animals for people whose survival depends on them, but either can't afford them or have lost them. All right. Think about that. Active fundraising. Here's an old one. This is really 1946. Lord and Vader, one of the first Calypso singers to come to the United States. He's singing a song that he wrote called Walk in Peace.
It's as simple as one and one make two. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's the only way that wars will cease, and men of good will shall walk in peace. Ha di 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 da di da da di di dam da di 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 da di da di di dam da da di da di da di di dam. Everyone who's been to school heard about the golden rule. It's a story old but true. Do unto others as you'll have them do unto you. Now the way it looks to me, it's a case of reciprocity. We must observe it implicitly if we hope to save the world from calamity. For it's as simple as one and one make two. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. It's the only way that wars will cease, and men of good will shall walk in peace. Ah, di 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 da da di da da di di da di da di.
Oh yeah, we're going to move on. I intend to play a lot more Lord Invader now that I finally discovered it, as these programs go on. Direct action. I always favored direct action over political action, and then gradually over the years I began to learn that they're two hands of the same body. Direct action complements political action and vice versa. You want to learn about direct action in a peace movement? Learn about guerrilla gardening, ad busting, guerrilla shopping, pie facing. You're going to get in touch with the Albert Einstein Institution. Albert Einstein Institution at 11 Beacon Street, 11 Beacon Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02108. Phone number 617-523-1670. They put out a dandy flyer called 198 Methods of Nonviolent Direct Action, put out by a fellow by the name of Gene Sharp. He did a three-volume set on the politics of nonviolent action. It's back in print now through a Porter Sargent. You can order that. Study direct action, guerrilla theater. Learn how to put these techniques to work in your community, in your own life. Here's a song that's particularly close to me. This is from the Sioux Nation, called the Korea Memorial Song. People living under extreme duress, whose ways of life have been destroyed, called upon to go out and do killing of which they have no part. Korea Memorial Song. Well, these have just been some ideas about rebuilding a peace movement in a more proactive way, not just reactive. Just don't wait around until somebody does something dumb, it does something miserable, does something profoundly destructive on both sides, but proactive. If we don't do that, if we don't start dealing with the causes instead of just the effects, we're going to be stuck doing this again and again, one war after another. Friends, building an effective peace movement. An effective peace movement is built not during wars, but between them. And if we can't do that, it's going to be like starting all over again every time. Well, when I was a kid, I remember there in Cleveland, Ohio, during the Second World War, I remember at night the local air raid warden shouting at the top of his voice, if any light leaked out between our blackout curtains, turn out the lights, don't you know there's a war on? Well, here's a song that goes back to Alice Homburg's time. That's where we started. That was very popular right toward the end of the Second World War. Alice Homburg. Rest in peace.
When the lights go on again, all over the world, and the boys come home again, all over the world, and rain or snow is all that may fall from the skies above. A kiss, one new goodbye, that held all too long. When the lights go on again, ships will sail again all over the world.
that's it for this one. This has been UU Todd Phillips, the Golden Voice of the Great Southwest. Thank you for listening, and peace. From W.H. Auden, all I have is a voice to undo the folded lie, the romantic lie in the brain of the sensual man in the street, and the lie of authority whose buildings grope the sky. There is no such thing as the state, and no one exists alone. Hunger allows no choice to the citizen or the police. We must love one another or die. Defenseless under the night, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them of eros and dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming light.